This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When a parent gets that difficult diagnosis, one of the first questions that pop up is, should we tell the kids? Not telling the children in a family about a parent's cancer or other serious illness may seem like an option, but it can lead to trust issues down the road, make things more difficult. But how to do it? How to break the news? What to expect from the kids with their reaction? How young is too young? A first-of-its-kind initiative between three Texas organizations looks to help young people handle a loved one's serious medical diagnosis and provide support for families coping with a life-changing illness. Wonders and Worries is a free service that will be working with the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas and the START Center for Cancer Care. How to tell the kids that you have cancer and another serious illness, give us a call. This is a community conversation, and we do want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Our guest this afternoon in our abbreviated Source, we have Marion Sokol. She is the executive director of the Children's Bereavement Center in San Antonio. Meredith Cooper is with us in Austin at the KUT Studios. She's the co-founder of Wonders and Worries. And also with us at KUT Studios is Sandra Murray. She's a mother whose family received services from Wonders and Worries. Welcome to The Source, all of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much.
Sandra Murray, tell us the story. How did you come to receive services from Wonders and Worries?
On June 23rd of 2008, my family's life changed. My husband Jim became violently ill, and we went to the emergency room. He had a CAT scan and was immediately checked into ICU, where he fell unconscious. And he had a Lyme-sized frontal lobe GBM brain tumor, which ended up being inoperable. So at the time he was given, at the time they said 3 to 5 days to live unless they could operate, and then his was inoperable. And then they said at most 2 to 6 months. So our family fell into crisis mode, and our kids were, we had twins that were 3-year-old and a 7-year-old at the time.
And so you had to tell them. I mean, there's no hiding this.
No. And it was one of the hardest things we ever had to do. We were going to have to tell the children that their father was dying. Because as I said, we didn't know, for one thing, how long he would live, and the other is how long he would have mental facilities. And we were so worried about what this would do to them. But thankfully, we had heard about Wonders and Worries through several sources. So actually, when I was at MD Anderson, I called ahead and spoke to them. And so that when we came back from MD Anderson from Jim's biopsy, we were able to meet within about 2 or 3 days so that we could learn what to do, like what kind of game plan to have and how it was that we should talk to the kids, what words to use. Everything we needed. They were amazing, because at that time, every spare minute that Jim and I had was spent going to doctor's appointments and radiologist appointments, dealing with insurance and trying to keep Jim alive. And having Wonders and Worries there was like lifting one huge part of the worry off of our shoulders.
When you told the children, did they already have some idea that something was going on?
No, well, they knew that something happened. They knew he was sick and that we had been gone. But they were, like I said, two of them were 3 and one was 7. So they knew something was up, but not that their father was going to die. I don't think that had entered their mind yet.
Meredith Cooper, co-founder of Wonders and Worries. How did this program come about?
It came about because myself and my co-founder both were working with children who had cancer. We were pediatric oncology child life specialists. And through that experience in Austin, for me, I realized how much the skill sets of a child life specialist, which are focused on providing children with age-appropriate information around illness, was critically needed for children when it wasn't themselves with the illness, but it was their parent. It's hard for people to actually realize that about 1 out of 5 people diagnosed with cancer have a child under the age of 18 living in their home.
Meredith Sokol, you're the executive director of the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas, and now you're partnering with Wonders and Worries. Why the partnership?
Oh, it is just such a logical partnership to me, David. For years, I've been a fan of Wonders and Worries and known what they have been doing in Austin, having worked with Any Baby Can. I guess, in a way, we're in the same field. But now, in my role as executive director at Children's Bereavement Center, we get those calls for families who do have children that are experiencing a lot of stress, but there hasn't been a death in the family. And so sometimes we try to see those children with individual counseling. But to me, the ideal has always been to partner and work with Wonders and Worries. And that became possible when the START Center, Dr. Lon Smith and team, so generously offered to give us space there so that we don't have to bring the families and the children to the Bereavement Center, because we don't want any child to give up hope. And in fact, Wonders and Worries accepts families, many of which do very well. There isn't an outcome of death. So we want to be their open arms at a place where children can come in, feel safe, and understand what is happening in their family.
Meredith Cooper, tell me about the name Wonders and Worries. How did you come up with that?
That name is indicative that children often wonder about what's happening in their family and do worry without the age-appropriate information to help them make sense of the changes, because they are so easily aware of shifts, whether it's just in their home environment. You know, Nisandra mentioned her children were young, but they already could sense that something was wrong with their parents, that the parents were not at home, routines were shifting. So we want, through that, the name, to convey how critical it is for children to have alleviation of their fears, which often for young children can turn towards themselves, where they blame themselves for something that may have be occurring in their family.
And when parents come to you, they contact you, we heard Sandra's story, is it like that or different typically?
We are preventative in nature. We encourage and want families to come to us at the time of diagnosis so that we can help families get to that starting place early on with a solid foundation of how to communicate well with their children around the illness piece. Sandra's story is somewhat unique to shift so quickly from wellness into such a dire diagnosis. Many of our families come to us early on in a diagnosis of breast cancer, for example, that has a very likely great outcome, but it still creates a lot of flux and change in the family during the treatment's time.
Right. So I wonder, when do you start telling to kids? You may have a screening, and then you may have a biopsy, and you're waiting for the test results. I guess you don't want to bring them in too early, but you don't want to bring them in too late. So when?
That's a very good question, David. As children are sensing changes in the home, letting them know even early on that there is tests are being done, and that when you know more information, you can share it with them. What we really encourage is being as truthful and helping children know about the changes that are happening in the family. And many times, just as you acknowledge, families don't know yet what the plan is. But once it's been identified, we encourage naming what the illness is and sharing with the children what that plan will be and what it will look like for them, how it will impact them in their daily life. Many times children ask questions, too. And if a parent doesn't know the answer, acknowledging that that is a good question and that they will get back to them with an answer once they know themselves.
Kids want to hear everything is going to work out all right. Can parents, even though they don't know the answer to that, can they make that promise?
Children want to know that their lives will be taken care of, that their world is safe. And they also want to know that they are heard, that their fears, their feelings are also being validated by their parents. And I'm sure Sandra can also talk from her own personal experience how critical it is to be truthful with children. And sadly, sometimes we can't guarantee that their world will be the same. But as parents and working with partners such as those in our field, they can help children understand that they will have a stability within their lives that is so critical, because what we at Wonders and Worries want to do is ensure that each child can reach their full potential, their capacity. And what we're focusing on is helping parents parent well and children learn how to cope in the middle of, unfortunately, sometimes challenging situations that we cannot guarantee will work out as we want.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation talking about how to tell your children, explain to them that maybe a parent, a sibling, someone else in the family unit has a serious illness, and to include them in these developments and why it's important and what to look out for, what can you look for in the children to make sure that they're processing this thing in a normal way. Give us a call if you get a question or a comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio.
My name is Jay, and when I was 3, my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer. Wonders and Worries helped me to figure out that it's okay to be sad and that there are things you can do to help. Like, I used to wear a pirate costume because it made me feel safe. And the people around me made me feel like I could do it. And that helped me get through the tough time.
That is Jason Murray. He is age 12 now. And he told us about what happened when his father got the diagnosis of brain cancer. We're talking to his mother, Sandra Murray. She family received services from Wonders and Worries. We're talking about how families can use help in telling their children about these serious diagnoses. And handling this in a proper way can really can be very helpful. And other people have gone through this. Let's just share information, figure out what can we do so that the kids don't have to be put through additional unnecessary suffering. Also with us is Meredith Cooper. She's the co-founder of Wonders and Worries, and they are coming to San Antonio. They are partnering with the Bereavement Center of San Antonio and the START Center for Cancer Care. Marion Sokol is with us. She's the executive director of the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas. And our phone lines are open if you got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So Sandra Murray, your son Jay is telling us about his pirate costume. Do you remember those days?
Oh my gosh, yes. He wore it every day almost for a year. Once Jim was diagnosed, we immediately began our individual counseling with the kids. And you mentioned before about the words to say, and that's what they provided for us. What they told us to say is, your dad is sick and with brain cancer, which is very serious, and he might die, but right now we're giving him medication, and the medication is working, and we'll let you know if that changes. And so that gave them the place where they didn't have to constantly worry. They knew that we would tell them if anything changed. But for Jay, wearing that costume, that pirate costume, just gave him a sense of protection. But with the counseling, we were amazed at how much our three-year-olds understood. And we found out emotions that our seven-year-old was having that we didn't realize, like sadness and jealousy, missing time spent with mommy as I was so busy going to doctor's appointments with Jim. And I could basically turn over the worry about the children to Wonders and Worries and know they were in good hands, because the children explore their emotion through art and play, guided by a child life specialist. And my time could be spent each day comforting the kids and reading children's books about cancer and life cycles, which were provided by Wonders and Worries, and just playing with them, being there for them. Wonders and Worries also gave us the confidence to take our oldest daughter to tour the radiation center and see what her father was going through. We had a go-to source for how to handle questions and situations. And the children learned that cancer was not contagious and they didn't cause it. They learned to be angry at the chemo and the cancer rather than their dad when his illness caused him to be tired or irritable.
Meredith Cooper, frequently parents aren't on the same page. It's hard to get two people to agree to the same thing, especially when the stakes are so high and there's a lot of uncertainty. Do you help parents come to a consensus about how we're going to tell the kids?
Absolutely. We provide parent consultation, and through our information, discuss with them, try and understand what their concerns are as very loving parents for their children. And that is a huge part of what Wonders and Worries does, is provide parent consultation. We're very much what you would consider family-centered. So we want to focus on supporting the whole family to help them cope through this challenging time, and ideally giving them skills that will carry forward within their family as other challenges in their lifetimes come across.
What about with the blended family? We know today families can be have a different components. How do they come into this?
That's a very good question and very important. What we focus on is who are perceived by the children to be the primary caregivers. So in families look and have many different shapes and forms. And of course, what's critical for us is just looking at that family and knowing who are the supportive figures, the adult figures in that child's life, and giving the guidance to help those family members go forward to support their children.
Marion Sokol at the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas, how do you incorporate families into deciding how we're going to talk about things?
You know, I think our approach, Dave, is very similar to what Meredith does. We always have an initial consultation or an intake with the entire family, in our case, and then we decide what the children want and need in terms of perhaps individual counseling, working together with other children, which helps normalize it in what we call support groups. But with all of that, on the times that the children come to our center, we also have parents come meet each other and include the parent as part of this whole sort of protective circle we try to form around the family who's struggling with either a serious illness, devastating diagnosis, or death of a family member.
But imagine I'm the guy who's got the cancer, and I'm going to say, this is my cancer. I don't want to worry the kids. I can handle it. I'll be okay. I don't want these kids to worry about it. But and I'm the one who's has to go through this, so I should have the veto power over what goes on. So, Meredith Cooper, how do you talk to a guy like that?
That's very understandable. You know, many parents don't want to burden their children with what they see that they have potentially inflicted upon their family. Again, helping discern what those feelings are, giving guidance around and information around how a choice to inform the children can be so beneficial. And I think Sandra would love to be able to talk a little bit more about how that those perceptions coming from a parent herself.
Well, a year after Jim passed away from brain cancer, I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. And more than my health, what I worried about is, oh my gosh, my kids are just coming out of the grieving for their father, and now I have to do this to them. So I called up Meredith, actually, at home, and I said, okay, Meredith, if I just have to go through radiation therapy, can I just not tell them? Just do it when they're at school and not tell them. And I even knew better. And she said, your kids are strong. They can get through this. So I told him, but I said, this is different than what your dad had. And I named several people that had gone through the same thing. And they cried, of course, that first day. But then they were like, okay, this is different. You're going to be fine. And we were able to move on.
And David, we're sharing stories of things that have gone well. Sadly, because Wonders and Worries and this kind of information is not out there for many people, we do tend to hear stories of children who have not fared as well with this kind of serious diagnosis because they haven't been given these kinds of tools. And I would just emphasize that children are incredibly perceptive. They know when something is changing, when something significant has happened in the family. And a characteristic, particularly of younger children, is to link pieces of information together in ways that are inaccurate. And what part of what we want to do is help those parents that are more reticent to share, to help them understand that their children may, if they aren't given the appropriate information, feel guilty themselves, that they caused the cancer, that they potentially can't kiss a parent because they may catch the cancer. So it is incredibly important that while parents understandably are concerned about sharing something that is so difficult, to recognize that for the well-being of their child, moving forward with that truthful information at the child's level is critical for the child's well-being.
So do you sit down with the children in sort of a formal circumstance, like we're going to gather around the kitchen the dining room table and do this? Or, and is it okay to cry when I tell the kids this is going to happen?
Yes. On our website, wondersandwords.org, you can actually download the guidance that we have. We have a parent's tip sheet on how to tell your child about your cancer diagnosis. But it is important, as we've stressed, to be truthful at an age-appropriate level. And I think speaking to your child in a private, comfortable place is critical. There's more information around how to do that based on the child's age, what the rhythm of the day. I mean, it's clearly not something you want to tell a child right before they're going to head out the door to school. But starting with talking about your own story. You know, there's probably things that the child may have noticed, even if it is just as you referred to earlier in the program, that you've been absent a little bit, that you've had more appointments than normal. And then from there, asking, what does the child know about cancer? Many children, even as young as 4 or 5, have a reference point of what cancer is. And trying to help discern what they already have as concepts, potentially concepts that are inaccurate. And then moving from that to explaining your particular diagnosis in very child-friendly terms, naming cancer. And then importantly, moving forward to help the children understand what is happening now. How will this impact their world? And again, as Sandra referenced, being sure to explain, this is what we know now, this is our plan, and letting them know that if something changes in the plan, that you are going to be proactive and tell them. And again, what that hopefully does is provide a perimeter of safety for the child, knowing this is what's going to occur. And should I hear something different, I can come back to my parents, check in, find out. But more importantly, if something is changing, they're going to be proactive and come to me and let me know that this has shifted.
We're talking about how to share with your children what's happening with your health when you have a very serious diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe it's not you, but maybe it's another sibling. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe someone else in the blended family. And children, they're very perceptive. They're going to pick up on things. But if you don't tell them, if you're not straightforward with them and honest with them, it's going to challenge the trust that's going to be necessary further down the road as things can get take a darker turn. If you got a question or a comment, did this happen to you? How did you go about it? What went right? What went wrong? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source is going to continue after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio families will have a new resource to help children and young adults cope with a parent's serious illness. How do you share with the children that you or someone else in the family has cancer or maybe another disease like ALS? There's all sorts of very serious conditions out there, and if you try to hide it from the children, they will figure it out, and they may suspect something's actually worse than what you're really dealing with. Sharing with them is important, and how to do that, how to do it in a way that you can help them with this transition. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you want to join our conversation, and we welcome you. Wonders and Worries is a free service that is going to be working with the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas and at the START Center for Cancer Care at the Medical Center. And you can go to our website, tpr.org, if you need more information. Kids to now, I'm going to ask you, Meredith Cooper, co-founder of Wonders and Worries, they have access to Google. And so you tell them off the bat that you have a condition, cancer, and you're trying to give them reassuring information. There's a lot of crazy information online. How do you help them steer them towards websites that are going to be more reputable?
If the children or teens are involved with the Wonders and Worries program, a significant portion of what we focus on is giving cancer teaching so that they understand the illness, the side effects, the treatment. However, I think also, as we talked about earlier in the program, that critical part, because children are exposed in so many ways, including the internet, to a wide variety of information, establishing through the parents and that household that this is a safe place where no question is too difficult, no question is out of the realm, so that when children do encounter information that may be suspect or is not accurate for their family situation, that the parents have created that environment where it's very safe to bring that up and talk about it. Part of our programming is to nurture and encourage through various activities and ideas with the parents how to create that, including a worry jar where children and family members put into that jar what they're thinking about, what their worry, what their concern is, and then creating a family time when those questions are looked at and discussed together.
Sandra Murray, your mom that received services from Wonders and Worries, and you went through this with your husband when he had brain cancer. Did you share information with the parent, with the teachers of your children, or maybe with the parents of their best friends?
Well, when Jim was in his, yes, absolutely. We were very open with all of the friends. But when Jim was in his final stages, Kim Fryer, a child life specialist at Wonders and Worries, even provided a script to the Riverbend preschool parents so that they could talk to their children about what was happening with Jay and Claire's father. And the preschool teacher then, after the parents of the other children talked to them, sat the kids down together to talk about Jim's death and how the five-year-old children should talk to Jay and Claire. And so they even, for the funeral, made a beautiful art card with their handprints that the teachers took to the memorial service. The elementary school counselor spoke to Anna's classmates about how to speak to Anna, who was 9 at the time, about what to say and not say. And so many of Anna's 9-year-old classmates decided to come to the memorial service to support her. So it is so wonderful to have Wonders and Worries involved, to get involved with the school system, so that the kids feel kind of wrapped around in this protective little blanket.
We have a caller. Bruce is on the line. Bruce, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to get a little more information about the resource. We have an 8-year-old granddaughter and a 3-year-old granddaughter that live in the house. My daughter's a single mom. In 2003, we lost our 10-year-old son to a form of brain cancer and actually utilized the bereavement center for about a year. And then fast forward to this past May, my wife has colon cancer. In fact, I'm en route in about a half hour to the START Center. So when I heard this on the radio, I thought I should call in.
I'm glad you did. And do you have questions, Bruce?
Well, we have, so it's a blended family, I guess you would say. So my wife and I and my daughter and her 2 children live there. My daughter seems to be coping very well, but we have not considered the feelings of the 8-year-old granddaughter, who we have raised or been part of raising her since her birth, and the 3-year-old. They know something's going on, but we have not, in a structured setting or in a strategic way, communicated this is what's happening to your grandmother. Although they live with us and they see it, they know what's going on, they know something's going on, I have not even considered that our granddaughter is going through anything. So I guess that's where my starting point is. Obviously, we should sit down and, based on what I just heard, we should sit down and have that conversation. I don't know where to start. And I don't know what my daughter or my wife would think about that concept anyway.
I guess you start with Wonders and Worries coming to San Antonio. They're a specialist. Bruce, thank you for the call. Sandra Murray, your mom, you went through this. What do you tell Bruce?
I would tell him it is so important to talk to the kids. It will take a weight off of you. Jim and I both felt relieved after we told the kids because it was kind of that thing hanging over us. that how are we going to do it? How is it going to impact them? But by telling the kids and the kids going through it, they knew they know they can trust the world because they could trust us. And my kids now who lost their dad and then had me diagnosed with cancer and had to worry about that, they are strong. They are compassionate. My daughter just lost, my 16-year-old daughter lost her friend to bone cancer last year, and she was the source for them to lean on. The kids are going to be exposed to a lot in their lives, and so having that open communication and knowing that they can trust you all to be open and honest with them. Now, and the help of that is going to Wonders and Worries because they give you the words to say. They tell you what's the best way to go about it. And your kid, your grandkids are the same age that my kids were, basically. I had 2 3-year-olds and a 9-year-old. And they understood so much more than we ever thought they did.
David, logistically, connecting through the START Center is very easy. I would encourage Bruce or anyone else to reach out to their physician. We have a referral process through their monitored charts, and so all they need to do is let the doctor know at the START Center that they would like a referral to Wonders and Worries, and then that when they sign off for a sharing of information, we will reach out and contact them, whether it's a conversation with Bruce, his wife, their daughter, to think about how they can all be on the same page around sharing that information with their children, to directly working with the children. And as I said, we are physically located in the START Center. We're very grateful for that. Those in the community who are not necessarily affiliated with the START Center are still welcome to come. And we are working with illnesses other than cancer.
Yes, go ahead, Marion.
I was going to mention also, David, that when you walk into our center, you immediately see that it's different. And both Meredith and Austin and I truly believe that this needs to be a place for children and teens. So although it's in a clinical setting, we've worked hard. It looks like a child's place. There are playhouses, there are dolls, there are puzzles, there's sort of a hangout room, art boards. We've even taken the fluorescent lights and covered them. The walls are no longer a clinical color. They're soft shades of blue. So it feels like a child's place. And it's easy to just come and visit and see. It's a safe place for children, and they can see it's a place that they can talk openly and honestly.
But Meredith Cooper, after you tell the children that this is what's happening, that's not the end of it. That's just another beginning, because I'm sure you may tell them, I have cancer, and the reaction might be, well, can I play my Xbox now? I mean, you don't know how they're going to react. There is no right reaction, but you have to monitor, like, will there be regression in behavior? How do we make sure that they may come up with questions, that this is a continuing open conversation, that they can come back at any time and reinitiate that. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And repetition, particularly with younger children, is so critical. Keeping those lines of communication open within the family. And then partnering with the schools. Quite often, it is the schools and noticing changes in a child's behavior or academic performance that signal that something is wrong in the family, and they're often a great referral source for us. So as we work with the schools very closely and are very fortunate to have that also. But it is very much a process that you go forward with, and we want to partner with those families in that journey.
So Wonders and Worries coming to San Antonio. When do y'all cut the ribbon, the grand opening and all that? Marion?
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And the public is welcome, 11:30 to 2 p.m. at the START Center in San Antonio. We would welcome you. We're on Medical Drive, and it's the address is 4383 Medical Drive. Come see our center. And we welcome your calls, your visits. Truly, this is something new to San Antonio. I keep saying it's small in size relative to the degree of the problem, but the concept's huge.
All right. Marion Sokol is the executive director of the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas. Meredith Cooper is the co-founder of Wonders and Worries. Our link is on our website. We're also joined by Sandra Murray, a mother whose family receives services from them. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.